Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the world news and health research every single day, right to your doorstep or your computer or your screen or your phone, whatever you're tuning in on with us today. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend and been getting to see some of the latest episodes and updates on the podcast and the Health Masters and Team Health Masters website, along with the Brower Show we've been putting together. And if you noticed, we're back on YouTube for as long as we're going to try to stay back on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll sell on that last.
We've had to keep some of the content that we post on there, you know, YouTube-friendly, wink, wink, if you got that. So be sure to check out some of the stuff we're putting on there. A lot of it's going to be kind of like 5 and 10 minute short reels. We'll have some of the longer shows on there, but a lot of it we're going to start posting a lot of health content.
Well, we can't do more than 5 minute short reel because we don't talk about certain topics that you're not supposed to talk about on YouTube, like vaccines. It's awful.
Yeah, it is part of it, but we're working our way around it. The problem is YouTube is such a big platform. It's everybody's go-to for videos.
Well, it's frustrating me because, you know, Rumble's a good, but it's a hundredth of the size.
Rumble's great. Yeah. It's just YouTube's just, and the problem is all the internet algorithms, the entire world point to YouTube.
Yeah, it does.
That's what happens.
By the way, this is an interesting story. Leftists declare it frightening that children will be taught to love America. Yeah.
Wow.
He said Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller gave a press conference on Thursday in which he outlined how cancerous communist woke culture, that's very well said, by the way, will be kept out of taxpayer-funded schools and instead children be taught to love America. You know, I like that, honestly. Miller stated the administration, President Trump, is at the forefront of protecting women and protecting girls, adding, nowhere is it that clear that we are talking about fighting radical gender ideology. He continued, this administration is also fighting to get critical race theory out of our schools. Children be taught to love America. Children be taught to love, be taught to be patriots. Children be taught civic values for schools, which we used to teach in eighth grade, by the way. And we want federal taxpayer funding, Miller urged. He continued, so as we close the Department of Education, I love that, and provide funding to states, we're going to make sure these funds are not being used to promote communist ideology. For any nation to be successful, it cannot teach its children to hate themselves and to hate their country. I'm going to repeat that. Yeah, for the fact that he's saying this and that you have to, for the fact that you've got to say this is ludicrous.
It really is.
For any nation to be successful, it cannot teach its children to hate themselves and to hate their country. I remember I talked about that with critical race theory when I spoke at the school board. I said this is ridiculous.
No, it is.
So these are a few of the areas which President Trump has fought the cancerous communist woke culture again that was destroying the country. That's from the Frankfurt School, by the way. We talked about cultural Marxism being brought into the country almost 100 years ago, and it's worked its leaven all the way through the loaf, like the Bible says. And it's you know, there's a movie, and I don't recommend the movie because it's pretty doggone perverted. It was probably one of the most perverted movies that ever came out in the 70s.
What movie?
It's called Cabaret.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
With Liza Minnelli. And it was really messed up. And it goes back into Berlin, back into the 20s, and how perverted Berlin was and how bad Berlin was. And it's a very, very good movie as far as showing the culture.
Depiction of it.
But what was interesting in there, they've got a scene that's probably one of the most dynamic scenes I've ever seen in a movie, you know, showing nationalism among the youth. And what happens is they're at this outside restaurant.
Yep.
And they start singing, you know, about Germany. And like two little kids get up. And sorry, well, they're not kids. They're probably Hitler youth. They get up and they start singing. And pretty soon, other people start standing up and singing. And then pretty soon, the entire restaurant is standing up and singing. And then it shows the nationalism and the fervency of the German people, you know, to promote the German ideology and, to be proud that they're Germans. And then finally, these two weirdos are driving away and he goes, you really think you control these people? You know, because what happens is when you teach the youth to be a nationalist, when you teach the youth to have pride in America, when you teach the youth to want to be an American and say, I want my national pride back, there's not much that can stop a nation like that because of synergy.
Unity.
Because what happens is if you take a cord, a string that'll hold 5 pounds of weight, and each string holds 5 pounds, you take that forward, you braid it together, it may hold 100 pounds.
That's true.
because of the synergistic effect. So when you get an entire people together and they're doing what they need to do and they're promoting the ideology of the country itself, pretty soon everybody starts saying, you know, what can I do for my country? Ask not what my country can do for me. Ask what I can do for my country. Yep. And that's what Kennedy, one of the quotes of Kennedy had quoted from someone else. And what ends up happening is when you do that, you build a country that's so strong that internally it cannot be defeated because everybody's going to stand together as an American. This is what we did in World War I. This is what we did in World War II. And the country was powerful, and it was incredible what it did. The sad part about it is that, you know, when you say these things and you want to be, you know, a patriot and you want to stand for America, what's wrong with you?
Now you're a domestic terrorist.
Now you're a domestic terrorist, or you're neo-Nazi, skinhead, grandma-hating, grandma-killing, you know, white boy. I mean, it's awful when you stop and you look at it. By the way, this is a...
No, it really is. No. And to spin off that, though, this is the reason why it's so important to really monitor what the kids, your kids, are being taught in a lot of these schools. Because like you just said, a lot of these schools, the communist teachers that have infiltrated these school platforms, especially through the Department of Education, they absolutely loathe America. They hate everything it stands for. They want communism back. And that's why they push this agenda so aggressive on young children. That's why you hear some of the stuff that kids talk about now. And it's mind-boggling how weird and bizarre it is. You see these kids, they're purple and green hair at 18, 19 years old in college. And they act like complete and total morons. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Even in parochial schools, you know, there's this unbelievably liberal school here in Polk County, but it's got a very high rating as far as education.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm not going to mention any names here because I'm about to slam it really hard. And what they did, I remember years ago, I had some friends who had some kids there, and one of the kids basically had in his classroom a little boy that said he was gay. This is fourth grade, eight years of age. And then we find out that the kid has two dads.
Right.
Two homosexual fathers. Now, I'm not saying that that's always going to end up having a child that's homosexual. I'm not saying that. But what happened is they started promoting this, and I called up, and my friend called up and said, what are you guys doing? This is not okay. You can't be promoting this kind of stuff in the classroom.
Yeah.
And the little kid was running around saying all kinds of horrible stuff that he had heard at home.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is that directly affects these small children that are in the same classroom with them.
Exactly.
Because they start thinking that that's okay to have that type of behavioral pattern because the teacher's saying it's okay. And it's sad because that's leading to a lot of the problems we're having now. And don't get mad at me about this. It's just the way it is. We've got a lot of guys that are in their 20s and 30s now that are gay. And they were indoctrinated socially to accept that as being okay. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. And remember, this was an Episcopal school. But, of course, Episcopal churches, they ordain, you know, homosexual priests.
Well, and then you took it a step further now. That the whole homosexual agenda wasn't enough with that. That was a sidebar, bro. Mm-hmm. The overall goal, what they want is they wanted to push this transgender ideology, and they wanted it to permeate every facet of the education system. So that way, I'm allowing this child to identify as a female now, or he's a cat, or he's a walrus. I don't know what the heck he is this week.
What is wrong with these people?
And the fact that the teachers
endorse
adults,
this.
Yeah. It's their responsibility to teach cognitive functioning in school and education.
But when they're communist lesbian, Butch Dyke lesbians, they don't care.
They hate the kids. They hate America. And they hate everybody that lives here. And they want to turn into a communist hellscape. This is why HHS now, with Robert F. Kennedy, give me camera four. They are now recommending the only recommendation for gender dysphoria now is therapy.
That's what it should be. It's a mental condition.
Exactly. They said procedures and medicines carry risk of significant harm, including infertility. The government's new report states, oh my gosh, it took a rocket scientist to figure this out. That giving a 12-year-old puberty blockers and giving them estrogen injections in a 12-year-old boys probably isn't a good idea long term for them. They have no idea what they're doing to their body. Imagine that.
You know, I remember years ago, I was watching this TV broadcast when I used to watch TV and had cable, and this medical doctor was doing a circumcision. Okay? And he cut off the boy's penis.
That's horrible.
No, this is a true story.
It's horrible.
And by accident. And so he told the mother, he said, well, we just make him a little girl. I'm not joking.
Oh my gosh.
Now, it didn't matter what the little boy wanted to do. He was told he was a little girl now. And, you know, they went ahead and did the whole surgery on him. You know, they removed his genitalia. And then they put him on drugs. The problem, he had an X chromosome.
Yeah.
Okay? So about 10 years old, he wants to start playing with trucks and guns. And all of a sudden, he finds out what they did to him. And you talk about being messed up in the head. This kid was messed up.
Yeah.
Now, he had no input on what happened to him. Some idiot surgeon didn't know what he was doing.
Gosh.
And, you know, it's sad to me when that happens, but that ideology has permeated our entire culture, especially with Barack Obama, you know, according to Joan Rivers.
He's really the one that pushed it.
No, because
that's really when it started.
Well, that's because his, you know.
When you're married to a dude,
you know, what are you,
of course you want
it.
You know? Yeah.
As Joan Rivers said that. She straight called it out.
It says right here, it says, psychotherapy is a non-invasive alternative to endocrine and surgical interventions for the treatment of gender dysphoria. Systematic reviews of evidence has found no evidence of adverse effects of psychotherapy in the context, meaning some therapy, talking to somebody, getting your head back on right, screwing it back on tight, realizing, hey, I am little Johnny, maybe I'm not a girl, maybe I don't need to start cutting off appendages at 13 years old. That's probably going to be the best option now that I've actually had to talk to somebody that's not an idiot.
I spoke to a friend this weekend, and she had a friend of his who had a kid who was like 13, 14 years old,
yeah.
And he wanted to do gender transition stuff, right?
Jeez.
And his dad said, absolutely not. This is not happening. And now the kid's like 24 years old, and he's thanking his whole family. Thank you for not letting me do that. Because the kid doesn't know what he's doing. He's 12, 13 years old.
No, and that's the thing. They start putting puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones on these kids at 12, 13 years old. I mean, you're going to have, even if you don't go through a full surgery, let me explain this, guys. What they're doing to these kids at 12 and 13.
Unbelievable.
Is they're putting the females on basically puberty blockers, the boys on puberty blockers. So their testosterone is not able to actually fully develop in the boys because their testes are not fully developing and being able to mature, going to puberty. They're stopping that. They're halting it at 12 years old. Then they're putting them on estrogen. So now it starts causing them to grow breasts, and it starts causing them to have all these other different factions going on in their body. It completely screws them up for the rest of their life, period, even if they don't have the surgery. And they're doing this to 12 and 13-year-olds all across the country. And so I'm glad HHS now is coming out saying, this is not recommended. This is not okay. We're no longer going to be able to endorse this. Talk to a shrink.
Well, you know, the reality is, I've covered this before, and I'll mention it briefly. The Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan sect that runs the world, they basically worship a god called Ein Sof or Baphomet, either one, and they really believe that that are both transgenders, they're both dual-sex gods, with a little g, they're not gods whatsoever, and they want everybody to be like them because they say the closest type of worship they can have to these gods is basically for people to be transgenders or homosexual. And it's sad because that's the push that they're doing. It's a sex death cult that's perverted as all get out, and it's crazy what they do. And now, this is interesting. Ex-Obama official slams Biden's gods of policy. And I like this one, actually. It's a good article.
Speaking of Obama...
Former senior Barack Obama administration officials criticized U.S. President Joe Biden. Well, he wasn't the president. He was just basically the whatever he was. He was the cutout they had in front, you know, pooping on himself. But, you know, Joe Biden's gods of policy is from foreign policy on Thursday. According to the video from the podcast shared by DropSite News, Rhodes, who served as deputy national security advisor, says Israel doesn't want to end the war with Gaza. If they were willing to end the war, they would get the hostages out. The idea that they need to continue to fight the war against Hamas and Gaza, I'm sorry, there's no security need to do it. You're just talking about it. Already traumatized people, yeah, including a lot of injured people, who are being bombed in tents with no food and no medicine. He's right. Viator, former National Security Council spokesman, then says, what a total disgrace the Biden administration's policy on Gaza was. Loyalty to Netanyahu blinded him to the carnage and the total immorality of the policy and U.S. complicity in that policy. Now, you had said there was a bill that went before Congress. They covered this. Look at this.
This is insane. Now, it got yoked. They pulled it off the floor to vote.
Made it to the floor.
Even Democrats came in and said, this is kind of bizarre, guys. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Basically, they put together H.R. 867 was the IGO Anti-Boycott Act. You guys are going to love this. This is crazy, dude. So what happens is they brought this bill, and they said essentially it was going to make it illegal for any U.S. citizen to boycott Israel in any way, shape, or form.
Freedom of speech.
House Foreign Affairs Committee sought to expand existing federal law that would make it illegal for any U.S. citizen to participate in any boycott against the state of Israel. Despite the bipartisan support H.R. 67 had, the outcry against the proposed legislation ahead of the vote, if scheduled on Monday, proved to make bringing it to the floor too far. Even some of those zealous supporters of Israel in the House of Representatives said this is too much. It actually got 24 co-sponsors.
Well, it's because of the Zionists that are in charge of Israel, basically in charge of our Congress.
Bet money, all 24 of those co-sponsors were dual Israeli citizens.
I guarantee you they were. If they weren't, there's a high probability they were. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting. New Florida brand differentiation. This is an excellent article by Kirsch Substack. This new Florida brand differential study shows that the Pfizer vaccine likely killed over 470,000 Americans. Now, I'm gonna read this to you now, because this is the kind of stuff you can't put on YouTube. Yoke you out, okay? It says, now here's just a statistically study done by the Surgeon General. But it doesn't matter. You can't talk about what he's saying, right? It's got to be conspiracy information. The stunning brand compare study showed that Pfizer shots increased your risk of death by at least 36%. Yes. Wait a minute. Vaccines are never supposed to increase your risk of death.
No.
Surgeon General Joseph Lapidopato is a hero. He's the only health authority in America who looks critically at his own health data. By looking at his own health statistics with a critical eye, he found that people who got the Pfizer vaccine had a stunning 36% increase of their all-cause mortality lasting at least a year after they got vaccinated. This is a train wreck. Vaccines should never increase all-cause mortality. Kudos to Lapato for making and looking at this data. Someday we'll have a second honest official health person in America. Then Joe will have someone to talk to. It's the smoking gun. If the COVID vaccine was safe, the non-COVID all-cause death mortality of the cohorts would be identical. Remember that? We were talking about the double-blind studies the other day. If it's a real study. If they are different, it means the vaccine with a higher NCACM increases your ACM by at least the difference. Now, he goes into detail with this thing, and I mean, it's very, very, it's unbelievable. He said at least 250 million Americans took at least one COVID shot. 60% got Pfizer, right? That's 150 million. Assume Pfizer increases all-cause mortality by 36%. Estimates from the baseline say that if it's 150 million recipients, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people, and if over a two-year period, 940,000 excess deaths.
Jeez.
I mean, wait a minute. 250 million, 60% got Pfizer. Pfizer cost, assuming 470,000 deaths, and Moderna and others caused zero deaths. So Pfizer was the bad one on the block here.
Oh, yeah, we knew that.
Each person received two doses of average simplification, so 500 million doses total. Wow.
Jeez.
I mean, so he's got the full statistics of the analysis here that was done by the Surgeon General. And, you know, it's crazy. And he goes, CDC still thinks that nobody was killed by the mRNA COVID shots.
It's safe and effective, guys.
Unbelievable.
Don't worry. Get your 15th booster, because it's science, guys. If you don't agree with that, then you're a neo-Nazi. This right here says recipients of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine had higher mortality than those of Moderna. Here's a number here. So the analysis found that more Pfizer recipients died. 847 deaths per 100,000 recipients.
That's insane.
Compared to 618 deaths per 100,000. Do you understand how high those numbers are? 847 deaths per 100,000 recipients? That is huge.
That's almost 1% dead.
1%
of 100,000.
This isn't adverse side effects response. This is death. Yeah. This is huge on these numbers.
Well, look at our buddy from the Porsche dealership. He got these shots at the end of blood clots.
He's
one of these statistics. He's dead. You know?
Now, we got ourselves a Surgeon General down here in Florida.
Yeah, he does.
Dr. Joe's pretty interesting. It's nice to actually have somebody in there that's actually wanting to do something for the safety and health, because this shot's been a train wreck, like you said.
Well, here's another one. Doctors sound alarm over surge in teens hooked on Generation Z's favorite weight loss fix.
Ozempic?
No, this is nicotine patches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A record number of American teenagers are hooked on Zyn and similar nicotine pouches, new data shows. In 2023, just 3% of high schoolers admitted having used nicotine pouches. But in 2024, 1 year, it went to 5.4% instead of 3%. An 80% leap in one year.
Zen's the new trendy thing. I was around some people the other day, and a guy pulled out a can. He had some Zen. He asked me if I wanted it. I said, no, I don't do that crap anymore. I said, I used to use regular chewing tobacco way back in the day, and I quit that. It's unbelievably unhealthy for you. And the thing about it, though, is there are these little pouches you basically throw in like they're dip. But there's no tobacco in them. It's all straight nicotine. So now you get this aspect. They're making it, and this is why I explained to you guys with the vapes, they're making it easier and easier and easier to get hooked on nicotine now. Mm-hmm. And high doses of nicotine on an all-day regular basis, constantly hitting those receptors. Meaning, when these kids do want to come off this stuff, it's unbelievably hard to detox off of it, because their bodies are literally living on nicotine 24/7. They're on it all day long.
That's what my mom did. She smoked five packs of cigarettes a day. You remember that? She'd hotbox her room.
Oh, yeah. I remember going
over there. And she still lived to be in her 90s. Let's talk about some DNA. My goodness. Oh, by the way, a fifth of American adults can't read.
That sounds about right now. Part of education, bro. Hoorah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete failure. Well, they started teaching that whole language skills and trying to memorize the dictionary.
Yeah.
Can't do it. You got to be able to sound. Yeah, it's ridiculous. 48 million adults in the U.S. read or cannot read or below the third grade level. He goes on to say, Marion was in her late 30s when we first met, and she asked me to help her learn to read. This is 2007. I was the newish supervisor of a tutoring program in Manhattan aimed at adults who were trying to get their GED. Most students came in for help with an essay writing or algebra. Marion, who had seen her three daughters through high school and into college, wanted to get better at reading. She told me that she was at the third grade level. Once we started working together, I discovered it was more like first grade. Now, think about it. We're talking Jack and Jill went up the hill.
First grade. Hmm?
This isn't as unusual as you might think. 48 million adults in the U.S. read it below the third grade level. I remember it was interesting. We had one of our daughters was dating this guy. I'm not going to mention any names. And I remember I felt something. I talked to him also. It was the strangest thing. I would talk to him, and a lot of times when people talk to you, they get this blank stare.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that means either they don't understand what you're saying or they don't care what you're saying.
Right.
No, it's either or. And finally, I started realizing that he wasn't really functionally literate. So if you talk to him, if you use the term obfuscation or any term that's going to be above his reading level, he can't understand. He simply can't understand the conversation whatsoever. So finally, I told my daughter, I said, I don't think your boyfriend can read.
Yep.
And I said, next time he comes over, I'm going to have him read a chapter out of one of my books just to see if I can help him. She said, oh, please don't do that, Daddy. And I said, why? I said, please don't do that. He can't read. And I said, he can't read. Well, his texts are like, you know, staccato. She goes, they're all broken up. He can get a few words out here and there, but he really can't read at all. And he goes, it's awful. Now, as far as, you know, he could do other things. I mean, he was really good with his hands, and he was going to probably be very successful with what he does, but he simply couldn't read. And then I had another friend of mine years ago. This is just people that I personally know. He ended up, you know, having a son who was going off to college, who had graduated homeschool at the age of 20, and he had his mother was the homeschool teacher. She was a horrible homeschool teacher. He graduated 20 years of age from high school, and he was going off to college, and the Holy Spirit told me one day, I was in there talking to him, that this guy can't read either. And so I actually took a book and put it in front of him. He was leaving for college in 3 months, and you know, he'd been passed through homeschool, and sure enough, he couldn't read his paragraph. He couldn't even read a sentence. He was completely functionally illiterate. So I told my workout partner, I said, I like your kid. You're a good friend. I said, you need to get him into like a Sylvan Learning program as far as teaching him how to read. This is very important because, guys, if you have a child who has difficulty in reading, they're going to have a really difficult time with spelling words. And they're going to be unbelievably embarrassed in school if they have to ask to read out loud because they can't do it. And so if you've got a child who has issues with reading, it's very important to get tutors. Whole language does not work. Phonics works for reading. All of my kids were taught by Sharon to read by the time they were 3 and 4 years of age. Austin remembers that. Austin was reading the USA Today at age 7 with full comprehension. I mean, I made sure of that. I mean, he was able to read. That's why he graduated college at 19. You know, Harrison graduated college at 18. I mean, we're talking with bachelor's degrees now, not AA degrees. And so if you teach a child how to read at a very young age, what you do is you give them a foot up because they have a much better communication skill set. They really do. And it's very important that we all understand that if you don't learn how to read and communicate at a young age, it's a skill set that develops over time. And that skill set is stopped. It just gets stopped. And at that point in time, they get further and further behind. It's like taking chemistry, general college chemistry, without having taken high school chemistry. You sit there and you look at the wall and you go, what the heck's he talking about? You got to build and build and build and build and build when it comes to certain skill sets, including reading. So it's very important that you have your children tested on a regular basis if they're young, and if they can't read as well as you want them to, it's important that you get some help as soon as possible. Austin, what do you think?
You're spot on with that. I mean, because the thing is, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. And so it's definitely, you know.
Well, because you get further behind.
Correct, exactly. Yeah. Now, this is interesting. We were talking earlier about what was going on with that vaccine. There's an article just popped up from The Defender. I want to cover this real quick. This is really interesting. So RFK is discussing now how the U.S. will track injuries. Got it. Will track injuries in real time using electronic patient records, saying that the VAERS system essentially was pretty much being used as obscurity, like only 1% ever got reported.
Yeah.
And it was designed for that, he said. Yeah. Basically, they wanted to make sure they got as least amount of exposure as possible. Now, what's funny about this, they're saying that the FDA is going to start tracking this, the CDC is going to start tracking it in real time. And yet, somebody sent me an article, though, and I wonder, you know, I like to go back, blast from the past sometimes. And this is an article that popped up. This was from the FDA, same FDA that's going to track all this stuff in real time, from 4 years ago. The FDA, this is from 2021. This is in the middle of COVID. We all remember this. The FDA said they need 55 years to process the Freedom of Information request over vaccine data.
I remember that.
55 years. We'll have all the information to you by like 2070. Okay. So we can't find out what's in the shot. We can't find out the side effects from the shot. We can't find out the clinical testing with the shot. We can't find out the adverse conditions of anything associated with the shot. We need 55 years to gather this data. Now, that same group is going to be the one who's essentially overwatching the, you know, new platform to monitor the FDA.
That whole stat, that whole group needs to be terminated.
That whole FDA is so entrenched with swamp people, it needs to be cut out. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's interesting. And this also, too, going back about 10 minutes ago, we just talked about those cross-sex hormones. The FDA, once again, failed to warn parents about 70,000 side effects of puberty-blocking drugs.
70,000 side effects?
70,000 side effects. All the way from brain swelling to vision loss. They said the safety of puberty blockers and gender-affirming care and cross-sex hormones has not been established for children. And parents should research risk before making these decisions blindly.
70,000 side effects? I didn't know there were 70,000 side effects in
right
existence.
Here, Brownstone. None of the 70,000 adverse events of puberty-blocking drugs were a safety priority for Biden's FDA. Because he wanted his kids to be on them. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, again, I'll reference that, to say, you know what, little Susie here's 12. We're going to put her on testosterone. She's going on HRT because she wants to be a man. We're going to start putting her on set tests, and that's okay that she's going to grow a mustache and basically going to stop her puberty, and she's going to get aggressive, and all these other male side effects are going to start occurring to her. It's okay because she wants to be a boy. What moron actually thought that was a good idea to put 12-year-old girls on testosterone injections? I'm just asking a question with that. Yeah, FDA goes, oh, we're just going to ignore this. Every time I turn around, the FDA is something stupid again. I mean, they must. I think they have a facility at the Bad Ideas Factory right beside ATF because they make about the same decisions at the same time. It's bizarre to me. But
well, the problem that you run into when you see people like this who are in charge of the FDA, you have to ask yourself the constant question, why is there that revolving door policy at the FDA?
Yep.
And so many of these people leave the FDA and they go to work for the very corporations on the drugs which they approved. In fact, with 60 Minutes, you should tell the truth, unlike the one they did this weekend, which I'd like to slam everybody now. That's a bunch of lies. They've turned into a liberal. They've been a liberal left-wing mouthpiece for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
But it's to the point now it's absolutely ridiculous with them. The sad part about it is that they even questioned this like over 20 years ago. How in the world do all these people leave the Food and Drug Administration, go to work for the very respective agencies that they're supposed to be policing? Well, if you vote for me to go ahead and get this drug approved, I'm going to go ahead and get you a job for $1 million a year.
There you go.
All right. And so we're going to go that way. Oh, by the way, here's a little food for thought. Nobody got hurt, so I'll cover this. Dozens are rescued from a sinking yacht near Miami Beach, Coast Guard says.
Lamborghini 63. Saw that.
It's a nice boat.
$5 million boat.
But the problem is, and it wasn't,
idiots operated, obviously.
No, how in the world they got an intake with things? They start taking on water. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's a 63-foot vessel. They're saying, well, there were 20 people on board or whatever. It was too many people. They had 32 people on board.
That boat doesn't sink with 30 people.
No, it's a 60-foot boat.
60-foot small yacht.
I had a ski nautique years ago.
We had a dozen people in that.
The thing held 15 people. It was like 20 foot long. It was made for 15 or 60
people. I don't know the operational requirements on that boat, but I would laugh if somebody didn't put the plug back in or something. I don't know as far as the whole dynamics with that.
One time I did that.
I remember that.
Oh, my God. No, it was crazy. I'm in the Nautique, and we're on the lake, and I'm looking down. I've got water at my feet.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
I would imagine with a boat that expensive, though, you probably don't have manual plugs in it.
No, because I had manually drained it after I took it out the last time. So I reached down there, and I couldn't find the plug, so I stuck a rag in it and then flipped the pumps on. It pumped it all dry. I admitted that.
The backs are, I'm like, man, we filled the water bladders in here for the wakeboard. I'm like, you put the plug in? Crap. Yes, oh gosh.
And of course, it had sump pumps in it. So yeah, that happened. Yeah, you flip the switch. Oh, it's a really great boat. It got expensive. That's like 14, 15 years ago. I owned those. They weren't too expensive.
They weren't that bad back then, but those things have gone through the roof. Man, they're 100 plus, 140,000
I mean,
boats.
I paid like $55,000, which I thought was a lot of money.
That was nicer back then.
Yeah, and I remember I sold it for the same thing I paid for. I should have kept it. I probably would have made money on it.
Yeah, no, I saw that video with that Lamborghini 63 sinking. I was like, that's going to be a fun insurance claim.
Well, no, but the reality is, what happened? Somebody pushed the wrong valve for intakes or something? I mean,
or this is just me totally speculating. Or was somebody upside down on their $10,000 a month payments?
Oh, this wouldn't be $10,000 a month, but
that's true.
This $5 million.
You're doing,
that's true. You're probably looking at $40,000 a month.
Yeah. Somebody upside down in Miami?
I don't know. Well, that's speculation on our part.
That's totally speculating.
But I remember years ago, there was this one guy who was way upside down in a 50-foot yacht.
Yeah.
Suddenly, and I don't know how it happened, they got burned to the waterline.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you remember that?
I don't
don't have any idea. I don't know how it happened, but I always thought that was kind of interesting. By the way, Kelly Loeffler, this is a good German name. She's now saying that she's a small business administration. She says, Made in America bill will help bring back U.S. economic independence. And she is right about that. As far as manufacturing stuff here in the United States again, Small Business Administration Administrator Kelly Loeffler told Breitbart News that the legislation she announced with lawmakers this week would help bring back American economic independence and supercharge the return of American industry by boosting SBA loans to small businesses. Administrator Loeffler, Senate Small Business Committee Chair John Ernst, and House Small Business Committee's Roger Chairman all said it would be helped by boosting capital available expenses to the people who want to have these loans. So I think that's probably a pretty good idea. And I think also because they're actually giving loans out to people now, not based on DEI.
Yep.
Remember that? I mean, I'm a transgender, Hispanic, Mexican, yeah. Russian, Polish.
No job, no proof of income. You're approved.
No, I mean, what the heck? That DEI thing was a nightmare.
Or if you remember that movie, The Big Short. They go into detail on that, and it wasn't just DEI. That was just the banker boys getting greedy. And he basically had that joke. And they said, yeah, no proof of income, no job, no residence. Boom.
I knew this one girl back when, and I wasn't dating her. This was a friend of mine in Sharon's. And she basically, this is back in 2008, and she owned like 6 homes.
Yeah.
And she had no job.
No.
No. And she was living, she was renting out the houses, floating them, and you know, using equity from another one to buy another one to buy another one. And she had absolutely, and finally, it came crashing
out. Yeah.
It was bankruptcy.
I mean, there's a way, and I've talked to guys in real estate, there's a way to leverage those properly if you know what you're doing, and basically taking equity out and getting a loan on another one and renting out.
She's like 23 years old.
Yeah, but A, you got to make sure your cash flow's tight. You're not just wasting money. B, you got to know what the heck you're doing as far as with loans. You can get yourself in a really, really, really big pickle.
Here's what happens, though. It's called maintenance. That's so pesky.
That's exactly right.
AC goes out in 3 at once.
And the only way to really make serious money doing that is you have to be able to buy the houses at very, very low interest rates at a low cost. That guys that did it okay were the ones that went in 2011 and 2012, and they picked up those foreclosures. I remember there's a house back behind us. I mean, I tried to buy it. The banks
wouldn't do it.
No, so I was going to
sell for like $80,000.
Yeah, I was going to pick it up for like $90,000. And the final bank sold it for like 85, but I mean, it was like 2,000 square feet. It needs some maintenance, needs some work done. But I was like $90,000.
The payments back then, interest was so low. So
interest like 2.9 on a $90,000 loan. I mean,
it was like $300, $350 a month. You could rent the house for $1,000 a month.
Yeah. Now the house rents for like $2,500.
Yeah.
And so now those houses, if you got in those back then, those are cash cows.
Yeah, I had a good friend of mine, his name was Giovanni. He ended up buying about 40 or 50 of those types of houses, and now he basically surfs all day.
Yeah, he's pretty tired now.
No, he moved to California to surf. He has a property manager running his stuff here. He said, California's great. He said, but the liberalism is unbelievably bad out there. Yeah. But he says the surfing is phenomenal.
Oh, they got great water.
Yeah. He's talking to some guy whose friend had basically been bitten by a great white.
Bitten and survived?
Well, no, what happened is he bit the board.
Okay.
So the guy got bit real bad, but the board stopped at full impact. And then, you know, I mean, that'd be great.
That's when you hang on the wall. The surfboard.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's
can you imagine if you're sitting there on a surfboard and all of a sudden you see an 8-foot dorsal fin float by?
Yeah. 20-foot great white coming up.
And you're like, this is awful. Why do I care about this?
You are no longer the apex predator, my friend.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have to. Yeah, we have a lot of shark bites in Florida too, but they're not like great whites.
We have a ton. There's been a lot, especially up in the panhandle area. You got to watch out in Destin. Those areas, really pretty water up there. But there's a lot of shark sightings all the time.
But apparently this yacht, this Lamborghini yacht that sank, there were a bunch of social media influencers on there or whatever that
was. Hence why I said, I wonder what the whole deal was. Was it a rental? Somebody rent that thing out for the day?
Well, then please think about it this way. You're a social media influencer. Your yacht sinks. Do you realize how much coverage you're going to get on this?
And it was all over social media, things sinking. So, I mean, it got a ton of cover. So
all these little influencers. By the way, somebody goes, we're going to sink the yacht. You want to go?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well, you see some of these platforms now on YouTube where these guys have enormous followers, millions of followers and subscribers. And what they do is they, like, blow up cars. I mean, there was one video. These guys took a Lamborghini Gallardo and ran it through a car shredder.
No.
Ran it through a car shredder.
Say it ain't so. At least it wasn't a, what's that, Aventador.
Yeah, one of the Aventadors, a Gallardo.
Yeah, well, the Gallardos have like a real low resale value.
But these kids do this now, and they make a lot of money doing it.
There was that one guy, I remember, he was a Russian dude. He used to always blow stuff
FPS
up.
FPS Russia.
Whatever happened to him?
Ay, man, there's some shady stuff. I'm not going to get all that on the show. There's some gun stuff that was going on there that was a little questionable.
Well, but he had some great stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when you shoot this 50 caliber gun, you know, at 100 yards of this can of peas? And like,
yeah, then he just started expanding with it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is an interesting article, too, now is coming up. It says, White House eyes deep cuts in non-defense spending, but it boosts the Pentagon budget. While DOGE is going in and cutting, you know, every single little snippet of cash from a lot of these programs, which needed to be done, they said the White House unveiled a discretionary spending request ahead of the 26 budget. The proposal aims to cut discretionary funding by $140 billion. It significantly shifts the balance between defense and non-defense spending.
You know, what about all the money we just saved with DOGE? What was that all about? I mean, we're not even taking it out of the budget. We just increased the money again to what they did. It's unbelievable, Austin. I don't like this.
This bothers me. Well, you said something about this when this was going on. You said, how do we know that they're not using Elon to come in and cut all this money out from these areas, basically just these pig areas, so they can, again, make the money more fungible to other areas?
Yes.
That honestly starts to seem like...
Well, no, I mean, because we have another $1 trillion budget coming through, and it's like, you know, why are we doing this again? Why don't we cut back on some of this stuff? But again, when you start cutting $1 trillion budget out, what ends up happening is you start having a lot of money coming out of the M1 money supply, and when that all happens, you get into a situation where you go into a massive recession.
Well, this is what I warned about. You know, all that money trickles down. People go buy stuff with it. You know, there's $10,000 limit with millions and millions of credit cards the government was using. All the employees, they've cut them out now. Yeah, and you see that here, but it's funny to me, they're cutting all these spending out, but the Pentagon's getting a bigger hit, bigger, you know, bunch of budget now, which isn't surprising. Remember what I told you guys before, the war in Ukraine won't end until Lockheed Martin and Raytheon deem it so. And that's exactly what's been happening now. Now, like I said, the Pentagon's getting more money. Surprise, surprise. And also, too, in other news, this is something here, it's kind of a mental candy one here, but it's not at the same time. First driverless heavy-duty trucking service launched on U.S. public roads. This one's kind of creepy, okay? Semi-trucks are already, you know, if they get an accident with you, it's a problem. But Pennsylvania-based Aurora Innovations has launched commercial self-driving trucking service in the state of Texas, conducting customer deliveries between Dallas and Houston starting this week. The driverless truck service will use Aurora's flagship product, Aurora Driver, a self-driving system that can see over 450 meters ahead. That's a quarter of a mile. That's pretty stout. It says the truck is capable of spotting and reacting to pedestrians up to 11 seconds sooner than human drivers at highway speeds. Now, if this is accurate, this is interesting. It says to date, the Aurora Driver has completed over 1,200 miles without a driver. It's like halfway to California from here. So the milestone marks Aurora, the first company to operate a commercial self-driving service with heavy-duty trucks on public roads. They plan to expand its driverless services to El Paso, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona. This is interesting. We're going to see how this goes. But I mean, the fact that it has full capability and vision up to 450 meters ahead in all testing, it's up to 11 seconds sooner than human drivers at highway speeds as far as reacting and spotting pedestrians.
I don't believe that.
I don't know how they do that. 11 seconds?
No, because the Elon Musk cars have been a disaster as far as self-driving cars.
Look at what's happened with some of the auto-driving functions, how many people have died.
Well, I mean, we're not talking. We're talking a 60, 80, 100,000 pound rig. I mean,
this isn't a 4,000 pound, you know, Model S.
We're talking about a car that'll, we're talking about a vehicle that when you load it with a trailer will drive through an apartment 80, complex.
80,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's like a bulldozer.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we've all seen accidents on the highway before when these things hit a car.
And I mean, it's just well, this won't hit a car. This will go through 100 cars.
Well, here's my biggest thing. What happens if the AI Aurora driver program malfunctions? Where's the override? There's no driver. How do you stop? What if it goes, this is me being kind of Cybernon. What happens if it goes sentient? What happens if the AI system goes, I don't want to be a driver anymore. I want to be a wrecking ball. I identify as a bomb. Like, you know, I don't know. It's
just, well, you think about it. Now you think, well, now you're going to have a big fair downtown or fair out of the fairgrounds. It decides it wants to just drive through the fairgrounds.
Drive through everybody with an 80,000-pound load.
And we already have that happening in Europe all the time when these guys basically don't put the barriers up right and the people drive through and kill a bunch
of people.
The
thing is, you take a semi-truck, they load this thing down, and it comes in at 70 miles an hour.
It ain't slowing.
It ain't stopping. I mean, that will go through anything and every barrier.
The only way you stop it is if you flipped it and it went up in the air and it came down sideways. Otherwise, it would just grind through with a torque.
That's why I was – I mean, they're so Hollywood now. Some of those Fast and Furious movies where that one they had that cable connects to the front axle of the semi truck. It picks the whole semi truck up forward first and flips it. I don't even believe you believe, but it's Hollywood, whatever. You know,
here's an interesting article. But I don't agree with everything Martin Armstrong says, but he has some good stuff. He goes, Europe does not want peace. Martin Armstrong warns the U.S. leadership to get out of NATO. Yes. Legendary financial and geopolitical cycle analyst Martin Armstrong is back with advanced problems coming to the world starting in 2026, 2025. Depressions, defaults, debt crisis, and wars are going to sweep the globe, according to Armstrong and his Socrates predictive program computer. Armstrong has called every big economic turn in the past three decades. He predicted Trump would win in 2024 in a landslide many months ahead. Armstrong also called a huge stock market crash of 87 to the day. He predicted the dot-com boom and bust in 2000, and he was spot on calling for the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, and now we are headed for even more recessions and big turns, Armstrong says. And it's interesting. He says Europe has trillions of dollars in unpayable debt. Well, so do we. We have quadrillions, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? As far as all the derivatives that were done on U.S. dollars. Europe has trillions of dollars in unpayable debt. Armstrong says the leadership knows if they don't have a war, the people will come after them.
Exactly right.
You know, that's right, because if you cover it all up with the war. I remember that movie with Tom Cruise. It was, it was in Germany when they tried to kill Hitler. What was the name of that movie?
Oh, Valkyrie.
Valkyrie. And all of a sudden, the Germans are like burning all the letters and all the notes. And I mean, they throw on all outside of the square, covering them with diesel fuel and burning everything.
Yeah.
Because they want to cover it all.
Evidence.
Well, yeah, you got to cover it up.
Well, as Gerald Celente always says, quote him, when all else fails, the bankers go to war.
You know, we had him on the show a lot way back when, but we haven't had him on in a few years now. I'd like to bring Gerald back on again.
We haven't had any guest on the show with our new platform. How do we bring him? We'd have to Skype in from on the screen.
We'd probably have to get rid of camera four and have Michael figure out how to do all that. By the way, says Europe has trillions of dollars in unpayable debt. Europe does not want peace. Look at things the EU has said, that Russia is too big and has to be broken up. No, that's nobody's business but Russia. They already broke up the USSR.
Yeah.
I have very good contacts, very high up, and they really do think they can conquer Russia. It has $75 trillion in natural resource assets. That means they want their stuff again. They will control that once they get their hands on that, and they will rise to the top of the mountains in the countries of the world, like the Roman Empire will be resurrected or something. But instead of the EU winning a war against Russia, Armstrong predicts, they'll lose big time.
The
third time is not going to be the charm. The euro will disappear, not the dollar. I believe that, by the way, because the dollar still is the reserve currency.
It is.
The timing of the next big turn for war, Armstrong says, after May the 15th, war is turning up in Ukraine. It'll be turning up into 2026. If I am Putin, there's no way I'm signing a peace deal. Putin signed a peace deal in 2015. And what did they do? They built an army while Russia didn't.
That's exactly right.
And they bombed the crap out of the doggone, the Donbass area because of that. Armstrong predicts China will come on the side of Russia. There could be as many as 1 billion dead and wounded as a result. And I'm not sure about all that. And he goes into detail with that. But I'm going to post the story so you guys can read it. But I found it very interesting.
No, it's exactly right. Now, because the thing about this is, there's been constant engagements with Russia. That's a big country to try to conquer. I mean,
Hitler learned that the hard way.
Yeah, it's just, man.
2,000-mile front.
And it is a brutal landscape, some of that stuff out there. It's ridiculous. Now, here's some bubble gum. Trump says he's going to reopen Alcatraz for America's most ruthless.
I wonder if this will resurrect Nicolas Cage's career. Sean Connery's gone by now. That was a good segue. Thank you.
Well, The Rock was a great film.
That was one of the best films Nicolas Cage ever did.
Yes. Marines turn into terrorists. They take over Alcatraz and
hostages. A bunch of tourists checking
tourists. Out. They got that. VX nerve gas.
And they come
in.
It's
been a while. It's a good movie.
That's a really good movie.
It is actually a really good movie. It's intense. I'm curious about this because this is kind of a cool idea. If you can't get rid of these illegals, these MS-13 gang members, because the judges are literally blocking this, it still doesn't make sense to me. So I guess he's going to dump them out on Alcatraz.
Well, what needs to be done if they're going to reuse Alcatraz, they need to tear that whole complex down and rebuild it. But, of course, it's a historical site now.
It's a historical monument now. I mean, like you said, that Al Capone was there.
The problem is the salt water because they have to pipe the fresh water in out there. And the salt water gets inside of everything, including concrete, which has rebar in it. And the rebar starts to rust from the inside out.
Now, with the technology now, though, couldn't we just build like a desalinization plant?
We could.
There, that would just pump it out. This is old school technology.
Oh, it's 100 years ago, yeah.
I mean, it worked. I mean, I don't think anybody successfully escaped
it. Oh, yeah, they did. Did they? Yeah, they did a movie on it. Years ago. But the problem is that water is so cold.
It's
got sharks in it. And so there's,
it was a brilliant idea. Yeah. You really think about it. I mean, you want to make sure nobody really has the success from escaping.
Well, the brilliant idea was using, Australia as a penal colony. Remember that?
That's actually a prison colony.
Send them all down to Australia. You know, we're going to put them in the middle of nowhere. Good luck getting out of that place.
You mean, we were down there. Why are there, man, you guys are from Australia, so why are your spiders so stinking big?
What's up with those spiders down there?
I mean, they look like the ones off the movie Alien.
They're horrible. They're big spiders. Well, the crazy part was, we went up to the, not to Darwin, but up to Cairns to go diving in the Great Barrier Reef.
That was a blast.
And I remember they had these big crocodile places that they had.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these boys were 22 feet long. They were huge.
Crocs, I mean, I've gator hunted my entire life. There's a whole different level between crocodiles and alligators.
Because of size.
And the aggression. Yeah, gators usually are territorial or they're hungry. Crocodiles sometimes, they've been known, they're just in a bad mood. They don't even eat you.
Well, remember the gators here in Florida, they were pretty much brought to the point of extinction in freshwater lakes where people were back 100 years ago. I remember when I was a kid, we never really had a problem with alligators because we kept them out of the lakes. And then all of a sudden, they were put on the endangered species list, even though there were still millions of them, which
there's
is ridiculous.
There's still millions of them.
And so what ended up happening is the gators ended up basically coming in and they got kind of scared of humans because they were basically, they realized they weren't the big apex predator. Now, the problem is this. The new ones that are around, because they've been protected, they think they can eat people. It's okay. It's crazy. Here we go. What is this? Oh, look at this.
That's a canal in Gainesville.
Why don't we go to camera number 4, Rich, let everybody see this. This is unbelievable.
Well, you're saying that they're almost. We claim they're almost extinct now.
No, that was a fit. That was back in the 70s.
I know.
They're off the endangered species list. Look at this.
Yeah, that's a canal in Gainesville. I'm going to give you guys a heads up. This is just a heads up. If you're down here in Florida, it's a strong recommendation that you do not jump into large bodies of water unless you know what's in the water for full certainty, which is very hard to do.
Yeah, I don't even like swimming in lakes anymore because of this. These things travel. They walk around. Remember, these things aren't. They're not water bound. They're not a fish. They breathe air.
We're having crocodiles in Florida now.
I know they've come up from. They've come up from Central. Yeah,
they've come up.
So. And not to mention the anacondas and the pythons.
I want to give everybody a heads up on this, lest you think when you're down here that the gators aren't a real thing.
I don't know why the state hasn't come in and cleaned this mess out of this particular canal right here.
I don't know. It's probably going to probably feed down Lake Jessup. That looks like Lake Jessup, honestly, at night.
I remember that one lake that we have that has that Circle P ranch on it.
Yeah, it's got the big old 15, 16
footer. The guy told me, the head guy there, the ranger who was running the place, told me there were 100,000 alligators in that lake.
Easy.
100,000. Can you imagine that?
Easy.
And people are out there on jet skis and skiing.
Well, I talked to our good friend, Mike Florentino, who owns Florentino's Restaurant over in Haines City, which is a great restaurant. If you ever want to go there,
Highway 27.
Great guy, great food. They got cauliflower crust pizza they'll make for you, which is really good.
That pizza is ridiculous.
And
I had it yesterday.
Did you?
After church.
That's right. Well, so it's interesting that I was talking to him. And so there's this facility. I'm not going to tell you the name of it. There's a facility being built that keeps expanding down the street. And he goes, the thing that he goes, this threw me off the other, he goes, now it's a like a brewery, and they're going to rent jet skis there too. That lake is infested with gators.
Well, and they've got a park for little children right next to the water with a little plastic fence to stop the gators from eating the kids.
That rents jet skis on a gator-infested lake. So you're going to have drunk adults coming down here to Florida, getting on jet skis and getting thrown off in water. That's a liability and a half on that.
They had one a few years ago. It was over 5 meters long out there. They called the gator. It had one of the biggest records.
Yeah.
And things was huge.
Well, that's what I mean.
And so there's an island in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
Which is like a breeding habitat for thousands of gators.
Oh, yeah. They lay their eggs out there.
And remember, they don't have one egg. They have a bunch of eggs every year.
Well, that's what I told them. I said, if the place was going to rent pontoon boats or something, I'd be like, okay. I'm like, but you're getting jet skis? Kids are going to be driving reckless and getting thrown off on? I mean, that just seems, I don't know.
Well, remember a couple of years ago over at Disney, a child got eaten in one of the lakes.
Horrible story. Yeah.
And so, these alligators, they're when they get angry about stuff, there's not a whole lot you can do to stop them unless you're running a 44 Magnum or a 12-gauge shotgun with buckshot.
Well, shot placement, though. 44 is usually on the bang sticks we always use.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you shoot one with a 45 with fragmenting rounds, it doesn't do anything to them. It just makes them angry.
No, it spalls. The round just spalls and bounces off unless you get a really clean direct hit because they're armored up on the back. Interesting, though. Yep. So I thought I'd give you guys a little video from Gainesville from last week.
Oh, by the way, U.S. tariff on auto parts goes into effect pretty quick here now.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be a 25% tariff on imported automobile parts took effect May the 3rd, marking a significant step in President Donald Trump's effort to reduce U.S. dependence on foreign supply chains and boost domestic manufacturing jobs. The new duties authorized under March 26 proclamation apply to key components used in passenger vehicles and light trucks, including engines, transmissions, and electrical systems. You know, the thing that bothers me with all of this stuff, and I talked about this before, and this is something that we used to be able to do in the United States. You know, Henry Ford, when he had that giant factory up in Detroit, right? I mean, he had a factory. Now, he had a serious factory. They would dump, you know, sand out in front of the factory.
The rubber trees.
And they would bring rubber trees in. And he would make his own windshields. He had a steel smelting plant there. He would make his own tires. You'd have all these raw materials dumped outside of the plant. I would pop a Model T.
Model T comes out the other side. It was pretty innovative.
No, I mean,
that was wild time.
But now they've got all of these electronic components also from all these other places. You know, yesterday I'm in my Duramax, and I can't figure out how to lock the doggone door. Something's going on with one of the electronic sensors in it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. I can't even lock the door in the thing.
Well, earlier,
I was at Florindino's. I couldn't even lock it. I had to leave it open at Florindino's.
Rich was saying earlier, I was looking some of this up, that Canada's wanting to ban vehicles after, like, by 2030. They want to start getting rid of all vehicles like pre-2008, 2009.
Well, they would cash for clunkers again.
That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to offer to buy them back from you.
You know, I bought that 88 Crown Vic for you when you were a kid for $800. And that car had ice cold air.
I remember when I sold it. I sold it for like $1,500.
Yeah, no.
2 years later, it ran great.
No.
It was a big old V8 in it.
Well, it had an engine go bad. It had a brand new engine put in it.
Yep.
And so it had a brand new engine.
I think the engine still had a warranty on it from Ford.
Don't remember. But I know one thing. It was an $800 car. And it was very easy.
You cannot find an $800 car anymore.
They don't exist anymore.
If you do actually find one, I mean, you may not even get home with it. You don't have AC.
And let me give you some advice if you're a kid and you get one of these cars. This is advice that's going to hold very true to my heart because I've seen it happen in my own family. If your daddy decides he's going to buy you a car, or your mama decides she's going to buy you a car, or one of your relatives gives you a car, and you basically realize that car is worth about $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, put collision insurance on the doggone thing. Because if you wreck it by, because everybody gets into an accident at some time in their life, somebody's going to hit somebody.
You're going to get an accident at some point in your life. My always rule of thumb that I always recommend people, if the car's true wholesale value is greater than $10,000, get collision on it. You start getting to a car where, I mean, like, you know, retail, wholesale, it's $3,000, $4,000, and your insurance is going to be $400-$500 a month on it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But if the car's worth $10,000 or $15,000, you better darn well have collision on it, because if you get an accident, it's your fault. Your insurance company will not buy you a new car. They will not fix the car.
No, it's happened to one of our family members. Yeah. And the sad part about it is you look at it and you think, well, I hate to tell you, daddy and mommy ain't going to buy you another car if you total one and you don't have any insurance on it. you know, newsflash here. I mean, when daddy and mommy have to go out and borrow money to get you a car or do whatever they're going to do, you really need to take care of it and just take care of everything. And I've learned that a long time ago, Austin. If you don't teach a child how to take care of stuff, or if they don't want to learn how to take care of stuff, when they get older, that behavior pattern stays with them, and they don't think, right. And they don't think the rules apply to them. They do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. Somebody's going to bail them out, and eventually somebody doesn't bail them out, and they get in trouble, and they end up going bankrupt.
You see that a lot of times with these kids, especially that are young, and their parents buy them everything, is they don't take care of their stuff. They treat it like crap. They don't maintain it. They don't clean it. They don't wash it. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Because if you don't work for something, if you don't have any, so to say, skin in the game, it's very difficult to be really proud of it and be really into as far as taking care of it, because you don't know how much time and energy and struggle it took to achieve it. You don't know. It doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. It's frivolous. Whatever. They gave it to me for free. I got a new car, whatever. And it's sad. So that's one thing with kids. Make sure they learn the value of a dollar and they know what it's like to work and have some, you know, so to speak, blood, sweat, and tears invested in certain things that are higher-end items. That way they'll take care of it, you know, the rest of the life. I remember Hunter out there. He had his little car when he was younger. I'd be washing one of my cars, and he had his little, you know, little scooter cars, like three or four. He'd be out there washing his little scooter car beside mine. And he still does sometimes. But now he helps me wash mine. I keep them on the wheels, though, most of the time, still wheel detail until they get a little bit older. You got to make sure they're easy on the paint.
Newark Airport's got some serious issues. A Newark Airport air traffic controller is offering an assessment. It is not safe. Don't fly into Newark. That's a scary concept.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, you get DEI, baby.
Yeah.
The New York Liberty International Airport is not safe for travelers. There's one air traffic controller to delay plague travel hub. You know, Charlotte's about as bad, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not safe. It's not safe for the situation right now for the flying public. The federal air safety employee told the NBC News correspondent, really an incredible statement, unsolicited. He just said to me, and separately, don't fly into Newark. Avoid Newark at all costs. Wow. The airport would serve 49 million travelers also to 2024. That's a lot of people. Yes. And the second busiest in the New York City area has been drowning in delays and cancellations for years. The Federal Aviation Administration has blamed the shortage of air traffic controllers at the airport, along with runway construction. Newark has lost 20% of its air controllers in recent weeks, according to United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby, who issued a statement on Friday claiming they were walked off the job. The situation has grown so dire that United Airlines, which used the airport as a hub, basically, it was announced it was canceling 35 round trips daily, saying it was necessary in order to protect our customers.
Whoa.
That's a serious statement, dude. And last week, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy issued a plea for more air traffic controllers, offering $5,000 bonuses for new hires and warning that the system was beginning to deteriorate.
This is what happens when you hire people based on race, religion, skin color, sexual preference, rather than merit and background history and job.
That's right.
That's stupid.
You know, give me a pilot who's got gray hair, who's got 50,000 or 30,000 hours, who knows how to fly, who's 60 years
old.
He's
seen some stuff, dude.
Yeah.
He almost every foreseeable problem that can happen, he's experienced.
And if he hasn't experienced, he's done it in a doggone simulator.
Right, exactly.
I remember one time somebody let us borrow their plane. This is interesting. And we flew on a trip, and we came back down. And I remember I was talking to the guys about how much money they were making, et cetera. And I remember we were coming in for a landing, and the front landing gear froze.
Yep.
It would not let him steer the plane. And I said to him, I said, this is awful. He goes, well, I've already done this in the simulator. I know how to handle this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And he goes, this is when you don't want a $20,000 pilot.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he landed the plane because we'd been flying at 40,000 feet, and the doggone it had gotten really
cold up there.
Yeah, but that's when you need a real pilot. I remember a friend of ours let us borrow that plane, and gosh, yeah, she paid the bill. I remember that. It was really pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun, by the way.
Well, my friends, hope you guys are having a fantastic start of your week. Stay healthy and strong. The Purple Sticks, I had the 3-pack special on the website. I sent an email out on it. Be sure to stock up on those if you need them. And also, too, be sure to jump on the product of the week, the D3-10,000-K2. That product needs no introduction. If you know what D3 is, you know this is the number one D3 product on the market, 10,000.
Oh, yeah, and you know that K2 prevents it from going into the arteries.
Right.
It keeps the bone strong.
Always run K2 with your D3 if you're taking high doses. I'll do a whole show on later this week in detail on D3 if people have missed that show. Be sure to check that out on sale. If you guys need anything, Team Health Masters, like and subscribe on the platforms, and be sure to check us out on YouTube because we're back, baby. We're going to stay as long as we can.
And I'm sure there's a 63 3-foot yacht that sold for salvage here pretty quick.
Somebody's going to buy that.
Imagine saltwater.
It's got 4 V12s in it, though. So those boaters are going to be.
I've got a friend of mine who bought one of those one time, a 50-foot one, and it sunk like that.
Yeah.
That's 10 years ago. They're still trying to get it to work.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great evening, my friends.
I love you guys. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you yesterday in church again. You guys are amazing to me. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying for us. If it weren't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. Love you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.